Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming up on Father's Day. So everyone's thinking about Dad, at least as the week winds down, they're thinking about what to get him, where we're going to go eat, need to get that card, maybe make sure the grass is mowed so he doesn't have to do it over the weekend, breakfast in bed, all of those things. We regard, at least one day a week, we regard fathers as valuable within our own families. In society, we talked recently on the program, society views fatherhood as kind of superfluous now. Maybe only necessary in a biological sense, and then maybe not so necessary in a biological sense. And of course, they get a bad rap in the media as well. But all these boys running around are all going to eventually, at least most of them, going to grow up and be fathers too. So why is it that fathers, and this should be self-evident, but we have to ask the question, why is it that fathers are important to their sons, especially? Dr. Meg Meeker joins us. She's a married mother of four children and a pediatrician in Traverse City, Michigan, and she's author of several books, including Boys Should Be Boys. Dr. Meeker, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
These kind of things, we shouldn't have to even ask these questions because the answers should be self-evident. But according to the research, why is it that fathers are especially important in the life of their sons all their lives long?
Well, fathers are critical in a boy's life, but particularly during the teen years, because a dad helps a boy become a man in ways that mom can't. And I know that's tough news for a lot of single moms out there, but dads are extremely important because boys need to, during their teen years, they pull away from their mom, turn to their dad, and they need to see dad in action. They need to see a good man in front of them in order to learn how to integrate his good qualities and characteristics into himself to learn how to be a man. They just need to see it. They need to be loved by their dads. They need to feel good enough by their dads. They need some admiration by their dads so that they can become men. A lot of boys out there never grow up because they don't have good men in their lives.
Well, talk about the last thing you said there. Boys who never grow up, I mean, physically, they mature into adult men. They even take on the responsibilities and trappings of adulthood. They marry, they have kids of their own, and they have careers and the like. But is it possible that they remain pre-adolescents if dad hasn't done his job?
Oh, absolutely. And I do see this, sadly. And these are men who, and it's not really their fault. They just sort of, they grew up and they didn't have a dad mentor, a dad model, a dad's love. And they feel this desperate sort of hole in themselves, and they don't know really where to land. They don't know who they are. They're just kind of wondering. And because they feel on very shaky ground, they don't want to take responsibility for themselves. They don't want to take responsibility for their families, for taking care of their wives. And it's hard for them to really take on any kind of real solid leadership position in any way because they've never really seen it modeled, and they've never had a dad who's kind of come underneath them and shown them the way. It's much more important for boys to see that than it is for girls, oddly enough. But boys really need men in their lives, or they just never really become solid men.
In my upbringing, Dr. Meeker, this happened seamlessly. Of course, not flawlessly, but it happened seamlessly. I didn't sit there and consciously think, okay, what's dad up to? I simply found that by the time I was an adult in terms of age, I had seen enough in my father that I had a pretty good idea about what a husband and a father was going to be. And of course, then the real learning begins once I've got children of my own. And I wonder how I grew up thinking this is how it was for everybody. How rare is it really?
You know, it's sadly, it's becoming more rare. And, you know, if you look at different segments of the population, in Caucasian population, it's about 50% of boys grow up without dad in their home regularly. Now, maybe they see dad on weekends, or, you know, they see him maybe during the week, depending on custody. In the Hispanic population, it's a little more than 50%. In the African American population, it's an astonishing 70% of boys grow up without dad around. And if you think about that, every single one of those boys who doesn't have a dad around is at risk for a life of real torment, because they never really learn how to be a man. They never learn that they are valuable, because a boy gets his identity and his self-worth from feeling loved by his dad, being secure in his presence, feeling that dad wants to be with him. And if a boy, particularly a teen boy, never sees dad, he believes, because he's a teenager, he believes that dad left because of something he did or because dad didn't like him. And that's just sort of the mentality of a teenage boy. But it's really very, very important. It's very sad, because they're, you know, you wonder what our country is going to look like in another generation. And this is why I feel so strongly about encouraging men, encouraging dads, and encouraging boys to be men, because they really, truly, that the American father is under attack. You know, there are a lot of, he's being attacked from a lot of different venues. Try to find a decent Father's Day card, you know. It's all about jokes about dads who drink too much beer and watch too much television and hog the channel changer. And, you know, they're really under attack, and that's why I just feel we need to speak up for our dads and let every dad know out there how incredibly important and valuable and powerful he is in his son's life.
Does it... How much of this, I mean, you have written extensively and researched extensively about not only about manhood, but about boyhood. Mm-hmm. How much of this is also letting boys be boys when they are, I mean, not making men of them, but when they're little men, they behave like boys.
Right,
and just
exactly.
Letting them be what it is they are in those formative years, even preteen.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I titled it, you know, Boys Should Be Boys, is because, you know, many times in elementary school, many elementary school teachers are women, and girls in general are easier to teach because they sit down and they behave and they color in the lines, and boys don't. And boys act out if they're having a difficult time. They physically act out. Boys have very different needs. And I really wanted to talk about the importance of boys being boys, because, again, they're sort of feeling this sense that being a boy is not a good thing. Certainly being a man is not a good thing. It's all about women. It's all about girls. It's all about, you know, getting to girls to excel and equal rights and this kind of a thing. And they've been really marginalized. But the truth is, boys right from the get-go are wired very differently from girls. Their needs are very different. They need to be outside. They need to exercise. I fear for boys when public education cuts occur. Usually what happens, the first thing to go is physical education. When teachers reprimand boys, they usually keep them in for recess. And then boys come home from school and, you know, they sit a lot in front of computers and video games. And this is so bad for their boyhood, because boys need to engage life. They need to be out there exercising, and they need to be given the freedom to behave as a boy and not fit into the girl box.
What role does the mother play in that particular? Because mom is going to be the primary parent, if you will, at least in terms of time and attention early on in their years. What role should your best advice to a mom bringing up a boy?
Sure.
We've got about a minute and a half before our break.
Sure. From birth to age 10, it's all about mom. After that, it's all about dad. Mom gives a boy a sense of security. She gives him a sense of how to behave, how to love, how to accept love, how to be a nurturer, how to be attentive to a person. And she really gives him a tremendous amount of emotional stability. And that's the best thing that a mom can give a son during those early years, because boys are very attached and bonded to their mothers, and that needs to happen, because then after they learn that they're solid people, then they can pull away from mom, turn towards dad, and enter a very different phase in their life, which is, okay, now I got to learn how to be a man. It's all about dad.
Dr. Meg Meeker is our guest. We're talking about fathers and sons as Father's Day approaches. It's Wednesday afternoon. It's June the 17th, and we want to hear from you, your questions and your comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, and we get them in real time. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Meg Meeker is a married mother of four children and a pediatrician in Traverse City, Michigan, author of several books, including Boys Should Be Boys. We'll be giving that book away to listeners with the best questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. After about 10 more minutes with Dr. Meg Meeker, Terry Mattingly will join us from Scripps Howard News Service. We'll be talking to him about something he's written about recently, the movie Angels and Demons. He says it's not necessarily an anti-Catholic movie. It's just anti-conservative Catholic. We'll see what he means when we talk with him in about 10 minutes. We'll also talk with Terry about the killing of abortionist George Tiller, the media coverage of it, and the media coverage of Christianity and a Day of Remembrance in the Ukraine. Not much better than that in the United States. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
He's right there in my eyes, staring back at me. And I realize the older I get, the more I can see how much he loved my mother and my brother and me. And he did the best that he could. And I only hope when I have my...
Back by popular demand... You're listening to Issues Etc.
Jaxies, an example of created kinds?
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the book on why young people are leaving the church. It's entitled Already Gone.
We often hear critics claim that there were too many species of animals for Noah to fit on the ark. But you know, there's a big difference between the biblical created kind and a species. For example, consider the wild dogs of Africa called jackals. Well, they have a much sharper sense of smell than domestic dogs, so a Russian research group crossed a jackal with a husky to breed the ultimate sniffer dog, and they called it a Jaxie. They've been used at a Moscow airport to sniff out drugs and explosives in luggage. This shows again that the Bible's created kinds often include more than one species. It also demonstrates that selective breeding that's produced domestic dogs also removes some genetic information. You see, in the case of the husky, it had lost its great sense of smell. Wolves, jackals, coyotes, dingoes, and other dog varieties easily interbreed with the domestic dogs, showing that although they may be classified as a different species, they're all one created kind. So you see, Noah only needed two of the dog kind on the ark.
Ken Ham has a new CD containing 45 recent radio programs on a variety of intriguing questions. Whether it's creation versus evolution or the major social issues of the day, this CD makes for some fascinating listening. And it's yours for a donation of any amount. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 888-89-ANSWERS.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking fathers and sons with Dr. Meg Meeker. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. This email from Stephen in England. He says, I teach at a state school in London, England, and several difficult pupils in my class don't have a father figure. Is there anything I can do as a male teacher to fill that role?
What a great question, and what a great teacher. Yes, he can. He can't be dad, but he can show these boys some attention and some admiration, and if he shows them that they are valuable, that they can grow up to be wonderful men, and he, most importantly, models in front of them what being a man of integrity is all about, talked about that to them about the importance of telling the truth, of realizing that, you know, the world out there is a very tough place, particularly when they're teenagers, but they can rise above a lot of the fray, and they can take the high road. And I'll tell you, if he has a good rapport with the boys, those boys, as they grow older, will hang on to a few key things that he says to them for the rest of their lives, because the power of a really good teacher in a boy's life is really remarkable. So I would encourage him just to really connect with the boys, give them some positive feedback about themselves, applaud them, admire them, and then encourage them to really take the high road as they get older, and they will, refer back to everything that he said and carry it with them in their hearts. So hats off to you. Great job for a great teacher.
Stephen, if you'd send us your address, I'd like to send you Meg Meeker's book, Boys Should Be Boys. Just send us your address. You can email it to talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Kathy in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I have two boys, and I have seen a way that I think Christian families could influence culture with this issue. It's with the women in the families. I've seen several Christian families that have trouble with the mothers respecting the father in front of the children, and will talk about the father either behind his back or roll their eyes when the father is talking or disciplining, or undermine the father's discipline with the children. And this is a real problem in the Christian community. And if the Christian community took a stand with this and turned around, the women in the community, Christian community, you know, were sensitive to this issue and didn't undermine the fathers. I've seen in these families, the kids get older, and then they cuss and use, you know, a disrespectful language to their father, and then the parents act surprised and where did this come from? And I'm thinking, I've watched this family from the start and wondering when was it going to start, because they had seen this modeled by their mother, not maybe using foul language, but definitely modeled by their mother. And the mothers need to repent and try to make amends with this.
Kathy, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Charles. Meg?
What an excellent point. Thank you for bringing that up. That's exactly what I'm talking about, where our fathers are being taken down. Media presents fathers as dummies, and there's a lot of animosity that wives have towards husband, that women have towards men, and it is the worst thing not only to do to a father, but for the children to berate the dad in front of the children. And wives can do it with their tone of voice, they can do it with their facial expressions in front of the dad, behind the dad's back, because really what it does is it disallows the child from having his own relationship with a dad. It interferes. And to all the mothers out there, you know, who are very negative towards their husbands, do not talk about it or do not berate your husband in front of your kids, because your kids need their dad. They need to respect their dad, even if he does a lot of things that you don't like or that you disrespect. Talk to a girlfriend, talk to a pastor, talk to a counselor, somebody, about how to do that. But many times, wives pick up this sort of trashy language and this disrespect towards their husband without even knowing it. And so I would challenge every wife and mom out there to really look at how are we talking to our husbands, and are we respecting and honoring them? Doesn't mean we have to agree with everything they do, but we must be respectful in front of our children, because we want that from our husbands, and it does tremendous disservice to the kids and to the dad. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, picking up on that, Dr. Meeker, I wonder also, we talked earlier about the father modeling for his sons what it means mm-hmm. to be a real man. I would take it that the father also would show the same respect for his for the mother around the kids, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I have seen situations where you have great families, Christian families, but behind closed doors, dad has a rage problem. He has an anger problem. And what he usually does is when he's upset is attack the person that he's closest to, which is often, the mother. And so it really can go both ways. So it's extremely important for dads also to model to their sons respect for their wives, because as a daughter will watch her dad to see how her dad treats her mother and how he treats her. And if he sees a lot of respect and a lot of affection shown there, she will seek that out as she leaves the home. And a son also, it makes boys feel good to see their fathers acting extremely well. It gives them a lot of security. And then they can mimic that as they leave the home towards their wives also. And I write a lot in the book about integrity. I'm sorry, about virtues. And I write about integrity and meekness and humility and the importance of teaching that to our boys. And the very best way to teach that is for a dad to model that to his son. And any dad can do it. And, this isn't about being the perfect, perfect dad. This is about being a really good dad and modeling the best to your kids. And it makes the whole family work a whole lot better.
Ken in Orlando, Florida, emails us, says, we have a problem motivating our son to be a good student. After a bad experience with a school, he's now homeschooled. We want him to fall in love with learning. Your thoughts there, Dr. Meeker?
Well, I would encourage dad to give him some time. A lot of time it takes boys longer to enjoy learning than it does girls. And some boys, it takes quite a while. What I would encourage him to do, great move. I think homeschooling in the hands of some really solid, good parents is a tremendous move, because just spending that much more time with your son will really help him. Try to find things that he's interested in. Rather than sort of forcing to read any book that you find, try to figure out what is it that really makes him tick, and try to gear your learning towards that, at least in the short term. You can't motivate another person. All you can do is try to find out what gets him excited, and then to really fuel that excitement with something else. It may be comedy, it may be the arts, it may be something that you've never even thought about, and it may very well be. So just, keep the feelers out, keep trying different things, and just be patient with him. He'll get it.
Let's talk a little bit, as our time winds down, about something you mentioned obliquely before. You were talking about how many, by percentage, how many American children grow up with a father absent, especially boys with a father absent. Let's mm-hmm. talk about divorce in particular, because the best, this is so sad to say, but the best that many can hope for is some part-time custody or kind of a mutual shared custody. Why does that fall so far short when it comes to fathers and their sons?
Well, I think, divorce is just very, very painful for boys and girls, no matter what time it happens, because boys will tend to look at dad and tend to look at mom and say, okay, well, who's wrong and who's right, and then so forth. Boys need as much time as possible, face-to-face time with dads. But I want to encourage dads out there who are divorced, even maybe living across the country from a son, reach out to your son. Even though you may be being sabotaged at home by an angry ex-wife, I don't know, maybe the situation's better than that and she doesn't sabotage you, but it's really important to understand that you hold the power in that boy's life. It's enormous, and he's going to be making some big decisions ahead. He's going to be looking to you for answers, not just verbal answers, but finding out answers by watching how you behave. So make the most of every time that you can be with him. Let him live life beside you as much as possible. When you're with him, try to keep electronics to a minimum, because that comes in between the two of you.
About 15 seconds here.
But really, give him as much time as you can, admiration and affection, and don't worry about falling short. Just try to be very positive about the good things you can give your son.
Dr. Meg Meeker is a married mother of four children and a pediatrician in Traverse City, Michigan. She's author of several books, including Boys Should Be Boys. It's just come out in paperback. You can purchase it at issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Boys Should Be Boys by Dr. Meg Meeker. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're approaching the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we're asking a question we want our listeners to answer before June the 30th. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? You can give us the answer to that question by calling our listener comment line, 618-223-8384. That's the Issues Etc. comment line. Answer the question, what does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384. We want to hear from you. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? When we come back, Terry Mattingly is going to join us, author of Pop Goes Religion, founder of GetReligion.org. We'll talk first about the movie Angels and Demons. Stay tuned.